Good morning. My name is Kathy Neal. I'm an extension professor, extension specialist in landscape horticulture, and a researcher at the University of New Hampshire, which is about 5,000 miles northeast of here. So things look quite different there. I'm going to be talking to you about one experiment that's part of my larger research program in establishing successful wildflower meadow habitat. There's been a very strong interest in establishing wildflowers and other plantings for pollinator habitat during the last 5 to 8 years. And so that's one of the driving forces behind this work. But I actually started this before that interest exploded, just as a sustainable landscape component that's really very low input. And it's good for people in terms of its aesthetic and requiring very little maintenance, and also good for the environment in providing not only pollinator habitat, but multiple other ecosystem services as well. But it's not that easy. You go to trade shows and people are always handing out free seed packets to save the bees and so forth, but it's not likely that you're going to be successful scattering those wildflower seeds out either over existing turf grass or even if you prepare the soil and scatter them about. So then people get discouraged and nothing happens. So this work will discuss some of the key factors involved in how we transition from this type of a rough turf, for example, to a successfully established and long-lasting wildflower meadow habitat. So the objectives of my overall research program right now are to develop reliable methods and recommendations for establishing sustainable and successful wildflower meadows in northern New England, and to answer questions about the best way to prepare the site, the best time to plant, how to plant, what species to include, whether to start from seed or plugs, transplants, et cetera, what to expect. It takes really a long time for a lot of these things to come up. Some come up early, some take a long time. What are the maintenance needs? How long you would expect a meadow planting to last, and the value of the ecosystem services that it provides. This particular experiment that I'll show you results from was established in 2011 and has been evaluated from 2011 until 2016, actually 2017. I just didn't have time to include this year's data in the presentation, but it was designed as a split plot design with the planting date or planting operations being the main plots because it was much easier to group those for the early or late spring planting, which occurred right around the 1st of June, or the September, which I'm calling a fall planting, and the operations that go along with those things. The subplots were factorial combinations of plant source and site prep, so either starting with a seed mix or a plug mix, which had the exact same species composition of 17 forbs and I think 4 warm season grasses in it. Site preparation within planting date, for the spring plots was either apply glyphosate about 2 weeks prior to planting and then rake the dead vegetation off before planting, apply glyphosate and then till, or till only with no glyphosate application. For the fall plots, this really involved a season-long site prep treatment. So there was either repeated tillage, repeated glyphosate applications, or smothering with black plastic applied right over the rough turf for about 3 months prior to that fall planting date. What you see in the photo up here is at the time of fall planting. So here we have a plot that's being seeded or has just been seeded for fall planting. Here's a plug plot for fall planting. And back here you see a group of the spring planted plots that were planted earlier that same year. For planting seeds, we mixed our seed with vermiculite and moistened it as a carrier, which made it easy to broadcast by hand and get good distribution. And then we rolled lightly with a cultipacker to get the essential seed-soil contact. For plugs, it came out of 32-cell trays and were transplanted into a grid on 1-foot centers. and then the warm season grasses were actually superimposed over on a grid on top of that. I'm not going to talk any more about the warm season grasses because they really have not been successful. The forbs have definitely outcompeted them, so we'll concentrate on the forb species and the weeds, which is a major challenge in establishing these plots. The spring planting was planted, and six, 8 weeks later, we had very dense crabgrass. Okay, so at that point, decided we really needed to apply a post-emergent selective grass herbicide, or this whole experiment was going to be a big failure. So as I present results, just keep in mind that the spring-treated plots did all get the same herbicide application right before the 4th of July weekend, and 2 weeks later, that crabgrass was dead. And you could see that all the forbs were germinating underneath, and they were so happy now they could have some light and some space to grow. And I think this is a real key to success in spring planting. Otherwise, even a couple years later, this plot here from a different experiment that didn't get the treatment, it's a seeded plot that didn't get any post-emergence application right next to a plot here that did get a crabgrass control. So it's not only that first year, it's really a lasting effect, whether you're going to be successful or not in the establishment. Data analysis basically density, which was percent coverage, both of weeds and wildflowers, and of diversity, which was an inventory of what species were present in the plots, was done with JUMP 12.0 as a split plot design, so we have different sources of error in that model. Plant date was never significant in the analysis, but remember, that's only because we were able to control that crabgrass. Otherwise, it would have been really significant because the fall application did not get the post-emergent, and you'll see that it did just as well as the spring plant date that did get it. So I'll talk more about the source and the site prep treatments. Site prep's only really significant early on in the life of the meadow, whereas source has long-lasting effects, and even today, very different appearances of the plots depending on the source, but not the site prep. And the interaction between those two factors was not significant, so we don't need to talk further about that. So this is the only slide I'll show you on site prep. So this was in late May of 2013. So the spring prep and plant treatments are in green here, and the green bars represent the percent coverage of forb species in the plot. And the gray stacked on top of that is the percent coverage for weed species on the plot. And this was all done by visual observation. It wasn't like measured in terms of a biomass or something like that. Over here we have the season-long summer prep followed by fall planting with the blue bars with the weed percentages on top of them. And you can see that in general it looks like the fall planting was better because you have more forb coverage and less weed coverage compared to the spring. But the only thing that was significantly different was this, what I call the quick and dirty till and plant method, which was very weedy compared to any of the fall treatments. This one is just an overview over time, and I've separated out the forb coverage on the top graph and the weed coverage on the bottom just to make it easier to see what's happening here. And the green and blue bars represent the plugs, and the yellow and orange bars represent the seeds. So you have the four combinations of fall and spring planting and plugs and seeds. And what's really apparent here is that you have this 3 years where you have weeds. And I can't stress that this is a major challenge to getting forbs established, but once they get established, then you see that you really have very little to worry about in terms of weediness. So the key is to get things started right and figure that it's going to be a three-year process before you get to the point that you or your client was envisioning when you planted a meadow. Okay, just focusing in on one more comparison in terms of density here. This is the spring-seeded versus fall-seeded patterns. So spring-seeded over here with the orange bars. In this first year, this is like 2 to 1 weeds to forbs. And these are not forbs and flowers, so to most people, they look like weeds also at that point. So it's a very weedy mess that first year if you're starting with spring seeding. This one in the fall plots is under plastic or under repeated tillage or something, so there is nothing to measure here in this. And you can see that when it comes up the following year, you've already got kind of the reverse of this ratio. So this actually presents a much better visual aesthetic to you or your customer. And then after that, the weeds are very, very small, light, and these weeds in the fall seeded plots are also different species than in the spring seeded plots, whereas in the spring plots, we have a lot of annual grasses coming up in all the site prep treatments. In the fall plots, it was mainly low-growing broadleaves such as speedwell and chickweed. And in the fall plug plots, larger broadleaves also, because there was more room for them to grow. We had dandelions and sorrel and plantain and things like that, but definitely made a difference in terms of what weeds came up. Shifting to focus on diversity now as opposed to density, we see again the green and blue plug plots, as you would expect, were able to establish and maintain a more diverse mix of forbs because each little plant was a transplant and had the chance to get established before it was outcompeted by some of the more aggressive species. In the seeded plots here, you can see that there are fewer species in each plot, and this y-axis is the percentage of the original 17 forb species that were seeded or plugged into each plot. So we're not by any means getting 100% of the species to establish. 60% was really pretty good. So I can't spend time talking about each species and how it reacts, but what we're trying to do is establish a plant community here, and so we have to realize that there's going to be interactions between all these plants, and it's fodder for a lot more research to figure out how these things happen. But this is my list of 17 species that were in the mixes across the left side there, and then across the top, the four time by method treatments, and I've color-coded it just for ease of discussion. So a good establishment is designated with the green bars here, and then yellow would be fair establishment, which meant they're coming up here and there, but they're not really, you know, reliably establishing. And then salmon means maybe one per plot or something like that, and gray means none ever came up in those plots. So what you see immediately, I'm sure, is that the plugged plots definitely had many more species that were able to establish and once established maintain themselves throughout the 5 years of this experiment. But there were some things that did not do well in any of them, such as lupin here, wild lupin, which is a native in our area, petalostomum, and so forth. The seeded plots, I think, is more interesting because you have this difference between those that were successful from spring seeding and fall seeding, which needs some more work to elucidate why. But there were two dominant species, one Monarda fistulosa or bergamot, and then Symphyticum or New England aster, which now make up probably 80 to 90% of the biomass in those spring and fall seeded plots. So I think the chance that the other things had to do well depends a lot on the rate at which those Monarda and New England aster came in and competed with them. But it does look like spring seeding is better from the diversity standpoint, whereas fall seeding was better from the density standpoint and the weed control standpoint. So in summary, the plant date, you can establish meadows either in the spring or fall and either from seed or plugs, but if you do spring, you probably should count on some kind of vegetation management, and we discourage hand weeding because then you're doing soil disturbance and opening up spaces for weeds to grow. The site prep within planting date is only significant occasionally, but really there are nothing to support the idea that we can just till and plant in the spring and have a successful wildflower meadow establishment. And in terms of plant source, seeding enhanced forb density, but plugging enhanced forb diversity. So you have to remember that a meadow is a process, and it's really a three-year process it's not a product like planting a, you know, annual garden or something like that, to get to this point where it's what you want it to look like, or what I want it to look like, is a three-year process. But from then on, it's really a very sustainable and long-living system. And this is a different meadow that was established in 2009 that now just, you know, the seasons, everyone has their own beauty. And it's very, very sustainable and very much valued by birds and pollinators and woodchucks. Yes, I can do that. So this is my last slide, and it's simply funding and personnel acknowledgement. So I'm all set. Thank you.